وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ And let there be arising from you, O Muslims, a nation, meaning a group. And what does this group do? Inviting to all that is good. Meaning you Muslims should be a people who call everyone to what is good. And there should be some people amongst you who are dedicated to this cause, who give this cause 100% of their time. And what is this cause? Call people to what is good. What is good? Quran is good. Everything that the Quran calls to is good. All works of righteousness are good. So call people to goodness, to khayr. Call them in different ways. Invite them in different ways. Use your skills. Use your talents. Use your abilities. Be creative and call people to khayr. Because if Allah guides even one person through you, then that is better for you than a whole lot of worldly treasure. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ They should enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ And those will be the successful. So we see here that the people who do these three things, what? دَعْوَةَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ Calling people to good. أَمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهِيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ Commanding what is right, forbidding what is wrong. Then such people are successful. And do not be like the ones who became divided and differed after the clear proofs had come to them. And those will have a great punishment. On the day, some faces will turn white and some faces will turn black. As for those whose faces turn black, this is referring to the gloom and the depression and the fear. To them it will be said, did you disbelieve after your belief? Then taste the punishment for what you used to reject. But as for those whose faces will turn white, shining, they will be within the mercy of Allah. They will abide therein eternally. These are the verses of Allah. We recite them to you in truth. These are truths. And Allah wants no injustice to the worlds. To Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And to Allah will all matters be returned. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ You are the best nation. Allah is saying that the Muslim ummah is who? خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ The best nation, the best people. Why? أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ Because you have been produced for mankind, meaning for the benefit of human beings, for delivering to people prophetic messages, showing people prophetic examples, because now no more prophets are coming. So this responsibility is on our shoulders. So we must do this. And this shows us that as Muslims, we cannot just focus on our personal lives, on our personal worship. We have an obligation. We have to be concerned about the greater good. We have to call people to that which is good. We have to bring benefit to mankind. We have to be concerned about their afterlife. But when is it that we can be the best nation? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ When we do these three things. What are they? You enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. You enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. This is being honest with people. This is being sincere to them. That you tell them what is right even if the truth hurts. It doesn't mean that you become harsh in the way you tell them, but you must tell them. The thing is that all of us need a push to do what is right, because the nafs finds it hard to do good. So you need that encouragement. We need voices that urge us. We need good reminders to push us, to encourage us. And at the same time, we also need someone to warn us, to stop us from wrong. Why? Because the nafs is attracted to sin. Shaitan also beautifies sin. This is why this is an obligation upon the Muslims, that we command one another, we remind one another of what is right, and we forbid one another from what is wrong. So if we want to be the best ummati, meaning of the best of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we have to do these three things. Remember, ma'roof is every deed that is considered good. That is well known as something good. It is not considered bad. And munkar is every deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, that the believers also condemn. The intellect and the fitrah, human nature, also rejects it. So commanding what is right, forbidding what is wrong, this is something very, very important in Islam. We cannot just focus on our own lives and say, oh, let people do whatever they want. No, we have to inform people. Of course, we have to inform them with wisdom, with care, with empathy, not with arrogance and judgment that we push people away. No, we have to use wisdom over there, but we cannot say to each their own. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam has 8 shares, meaning there's different ways to excel in Islam. There's Islam, there's salah, there's zakat, there's fasting, there's hajj, and there is amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar and jihad. So according to this hadith, we see that amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar are very, very important. In another hadith, we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people, Allah the Exalted says, and listen to this carefully, Allah the Exalted says, you must command what is right, and you must forbid what is wrong, before a time comes that you call upon me and I will not answer you. You ask me and I will not give you. You seek help from me and I will not help you. Meaning, if you stop taking care of one another, if you stop taking care of Allah's deen, then Allah will also abandon you. And our problem is that we have raised such huge barriers between ourselves and people that we don't let people say anything to us. That this is my life, my choice, I will do whatever I want, and you don't tell me anything. The thing is that truth hurts. Truth stings. And when someone reminds you of what is right or warns you of what is wrong, it is easy to see it as judgment. We think that advice is criticism, but it is not always criticism. It is not always judgment. And remember, the worst place to be is inside an echo chamber, meaning that a person does not want to receive any feedback. They just want people to agree with them on everything. And if that is the case, then a person will be unaware of their own mistakes. So how can they improve? This is why someone said that your true friend is the one who tells you the truth, not the one who always agrees with you. Then it is said, if only the people of the scripture had believed, it would have been better for them. Among them are believers, but most of them are defiantly disobedient. You see, the people of the book failed to command what is right and forbid what is wrong. And when we begin to call everything okay, and we fail to distinguish between people's desires and God's guidance, then we confuse the truth with falsehood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن يَضُرُّكُمْ إِلَّا أَذَى. They will not harm you except for some annoyance. Meaning all they can do is just hurt you with their words. They can't actually cause you any damage. And if they do fight you, they will show you their backs. Then they will not be aided. They have been put under humiliation by Allah wherever they are overtaken, except for a covenant from Allah and a rope from the Muslims. And they have drawn upon themselves anger from Allah and have been put under destitution. That is because they disbelieved in the verses of Allah and killed the prophets without right. That is because they disobeyed and habitually transgressed. لَيْسُ سَوَاءً. They're not all the same. What a just statement. Among the people of the scripture is a community that is standing, meaning with obedience of Allah, reciting the verses of Allah during periods of the night and prostrating. So we see over here, the recitation of the Quran in the night is mentioned. Sajda in the night is mentioned. So remember, staying up at night to recite the Quran is actually something very virtuous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also recited Quran in the night to Jibril when he would meet him every night in the month of Ramadan. The thing is that during the day, you don't always get the chance to recite the Quran because of the noise and the chaos and, you know, the different things that you have to do. So if you're not able to make time during the day, make time during the night for yourself, for the time that you spend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. And this is important as part of self-care. And sometimes staying up in the night for the recitation of the Qur'an can also include studying the Qur'an, studying sacred knowledge. Imam Bukhari mentions as-samari bil-ilmi, chatting at night about knowledge, or al-ilmi wal-idati bil-layl, teaching knowledge and admonition at night in his book Sahih Bukhari. Because in the night, you are able to focus. So if this is for the sake of Allah, then when you stay up at night to study sacred knowledge, this is something rewardable. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ They believe in Allah and the last day, and they enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and hasten to good deeds. وَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ And those are among the righteous. So these are the qualities of the righteous. And whatever good they do, never will it be removed from them, because Allah is appreciative and Allah is knowing of the righteous. Indeed, those who disbelieve, never will their wealth or their children avail them against Allah at all. And those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. The example of what they spend in this worldly life is like that of a wind containing frost, which strikes the harvest of a people who have wronged themselves. And that wind destroys that crop. And Allah has not wronged them, but they wronged themselves. So we see that when a person commits sin, when they do wrong, they actually invite difficulties and problems upon themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wrong people. It is people who wrong themselves. So committing sin is one of the worst ways of self-harm, if you think about it. And we see in this ayah that what is being condemned is spending only on worldly life. So when a person only believes in this life, they don't believe in the hereafter. They don't prepare for the hereafter. And all of their resources, their time, their money, you know, their thinking, everything, their effort is going into worldly things. That now, okay, I want to eat here and there. And now I want those clothes and those shoes. Now I want to travel here. And now I want this good thing and that good thing. A person is only concerned about worldly life. Then all of that spending, all of that investment is like what? Like a storm that destroys a crop. Imagine, meaning on the day of judgment, when they will need some harvest, when they will need some reward, they will not find it. Why? Because all of their spending and their effort got destroyed with the world. So we need to think about ourselves, that where is the majority of our wealth and our attention going? Is it going only in worldly pursuits and worldly comforts? Or are we also preparing for the hereafter? O you who have believed, do not take as intimates those other than yourselves, for they will not spare you any ruin. So don't be naive. They wish you would have hardship, meaning they love to see you suffer. Hatred has already appeared from their mouths, and what their chests conceal is greater. We have certainly made clear to you the signs, if you will use reason. Here you are, loving them, but they are not loving you. Amazing. A believer's heart is vast, right? So a believer thinks good about others and also has love for them. But everyone is not like that. There are people who do not wish well for others. And sometimes you experience this from people, that no matter how much you want good for them, they don't want good for you. While you believe in the scripture, all of it, and when they meet you, they say, we believe. But when they're alone, they bite their fingertips at you in rage. Say, die in your rage. Indeed, Allah is knowing of that within the chests. If good touches you, it distresses them. Why? Because they're jealous of you. They don't like you. But if harm strikes you, they rejoice at it. La ilaha illallah. Who could do this? Any someone who is happy, they're rejoicing at the suffering of another. This is very lowly, despicable behavior. This is being two-faced. The believer is happy at the blessings of others and sad at their suffering. An enemy is someone who will rejoice at the suffering of the other. So how is it that you deal with such enemies? That when you get hurt, they're laughing at you. They rejoice over that. How is it that you should respond? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا And if you are patient and you fear Allah, their plot will not harm you at all. Indeed, Allah is encompassing of what they do. Meaning if you're patient and you fear Allah, then their laughing, their mockery, their desire to harm you is not going to work. What is patience? What is sabr? That you don't lose heart. That you don't get affected by their mockery. What is taqwa? That you fear Allah and you keep doing what is right. So sabr, patience is that you don't believe what your haters say about you. What they say to you is their problem, not yours. What is taqwa? That you don't forget that you are still a servant of Allah. So you have to do what is right. So in this ayah we see that if a person has sabr and taqwa, then the efforts of the enemies will not actually harm him. And we also see in this ayah that people who are two-faced, meaning who show you their good side, but behind you, they try to harm you, then such people are not actually your friends. They are in reality your enemies. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from such people. There is a beautiful dua in which we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su, that O Allah, I seek your refuge from an evil neighbor. Wa min zawjin tushayyibuni qabla al-mashib. And I seek your refuge from a spouse who makes me old before old age. Meaning they give me so much trouble, they cause so much stress that I become old before I actually become old. And this happens with so many people, that they look so much older than they are because of the stress in their life. وَمِنْ وَلَدٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ رَبَّا. And I seek your protection from a child who becomes a master to me. وَمِنْ مَالٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ عَذَابًا. And I seek your refuge from a property, from wealth that becomes a source of torture for me. وَمِنْ خَلِيلٍ مَاكِرٍ. And from a friend, a so-called friend, who is constantly plotting. How? That عَيْنُهُ تَرَانِي. His eye is watching me. وَقَلْبُهُ يَرْعَانِي. And his heart is also guarding. How? إِنْ رَأَى حَسَنَةً دَفَنَهَا. If he sees something good in me, he hides it. وَإِذَا رَأَى سَيِّئَةً أَذَاعَهَا. And if he sees something bad in me, he spreads it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from such people. Now some things about the Battle of Uhud are mentioned. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. And remember when you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, left your family. Why? To post the believers at their stations for the battle. And Allah is hearing and knowing. The Prophet's insightfulness, preparation, organization, all of this is being praised over here. And before that, the fact that he left his family to go for battle is being mentioned. You see, leaving one's family, even for a short while, can be very difficult. But Allah is Sami'un Alim. Allah hears. He knows the sacrifices that you're making. Allah is hearing. Because when you go out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you do something for the sake of Allah, you talk to the people around you. Sometimes positive things, sometimes complaints, sometimes there's dhikr, sometimes there's du'as. What is it that we are saying? When two parties among you were about to lose courage. Why? Because Abdullah bin Ubay, the hypocrite, he left the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and 300 people went back to Medina with him. And there were some sincere Muslims who lost courage because of that. And they also began thinking of leaving. But Allah was their ally, so he gave them strength to remain. And upon Allah, the believers should rely. And already had Allah given you victory at the Battle of Badr, while you were few in number, then fear Allah. Perhaps you will be grateful. Meaning you should not lose heart when you face new and different challenges. Don't you remember how Allah granted you success before? How He helped you navigate such a complicated situation? So is He not going to help you again? What do you expect from Allah? What did the Muslims have at Badr? They only had the help of Allah. And how is it that they succeeded? Because of their sabr. They did not give up. Because of their taqwa, they were mindful of Allah. So remember, the real help comes from Allah. Remember, when you said to the believers, is it not sufficient for you that your Lord should reinforce you with 3,000 angels sent down? Yes, if you remain patient and conscious of Allah, and the enemy should come upon you, attacking in rage, your Lord will reinforce you with 5,000 angels having marks of distinction. And Allah made it not, except as a sign of good tidings for you, and to reassure your hearts thereby. And victory is not except from Allah. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Who is Allah, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim, the Exalted in Might, the Wise. That he might cut down a section of the disbelievers or suppress them so that they turn back disappointed. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. Not for you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the decision whether he should cut them down or forgive them or punish them, for indeed they are wrongdoers. You see, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam got injured at the Battle of Uhud, he said, how will these people be guided when they have done this to their messenger? So it is made clear here that it is Allah who guides. And at times, people who have gone very far away from guidance are the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidance to. So never be judgmental about people, neither about yourself nor others. That so-and-so could never be guided. I could never be guided. No. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. Can you imagine there were people who came to fight the Muslims? Individuals whose goal was to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and some of them actually managed to physically harm him, break his tooth. He was bleeding. And yet among them are those whom Allah guided. So yes, you may have done horrible things in your past. You may have said horrible things, unmentionable things. You may think that there is no hope for you, but لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. This is not for you to decide. If the Prophet ﷺ did not have any say in this matter, nor do you and I. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. Guidance is in the hand of Allah. Our job is to keep praying for guidance for ourselves and also for others. And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. He forgives whom He wills and punishes whom He wills. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. O you who have believed, do not consume interest doubled and multiplied, but fear Allah that you may be successful. Why is the prohibition of interest being mentioned over here within the verses about the Battle of Uhud? Because what was the reason why the Muslims suffered at the Battle of Uhud? It was their love for wealth. When the Muslims saw that the enemy had retreated and some Muslims were already collecting the war booty, those who had been posted at certain positions left their positions in order to go get a share for themselves. So it was the love of wealth that caused so much suffering. So remember, love for wealth, greed for wealth is actually destructive. It can make a person disregard what is unlawful and what is lawful. So the Muslims are advised over here, leave riba. وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. And fear the fire which has been prepared for the disbelievers. And obey Allah and the Messenger, that you may obtain mercy. وَسَارِعُوا. And hasten إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, to forgiveness from your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. And a garden which is as wide as the heavens and the earth. But who is that place for? أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Prepared for the righteous. So don't go lazily, but rush to Allah. You exert so much of your life over the little houses in the world. Don't sell yourself short. Don't settle with less. Rush to what is better. Remember, Jannah is vast. Jannah is prepared for the muttaqeen. How vast is Jannah? We learn in a hadith that the distance between two shutters of the gate of Jannah is 40 years. So imagine, if a gate of Jannah is so huge, what do you think about what is inside? Who is this Jannah for? How do you get there? How can you get entry into Jannah? It is for الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those who spend in the cause of Allah. When? During ease and during hardship. Spending for the pleasure of Allah is mentioned over here. The first quality that is mentioned is yunfiqun, that they spend. Because the love for wealth is intense in people. And when a person spends for the sake of Allah, it really shows their love for Allah is greater than the love of things. You see, there are people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a lot to. So if they give a lot, you're not surprised, right? And then there are those who have very little, and you don't expect them to spend anything. And that is also okay. But those who are in the middle, meaning they're hopeful of increasing their wealth and they're afraid of financial decline if they spend, this person's spending is the best, because they're between hope and fear and they put their trust in Allah and then they spend. They put their desire, their own pleasure at risk, meaning they sacrifice their own desire and they give preference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a proof of a truly generous person, that they spend in ease and in hardship, that they're focused on giving regardless of what their own circumstances are. So they give in al-yusr and al-usr, when things are easy and when things are hard. When they have little, when they fear shortage for themselves, when they don't know how things will be in the near future, but they still give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Asma radiallahu anha, La tu'i fayu'i Allahu alayk. Do not be retentive, do not be greedy that you keep counting your own money and you keep it safe in your wallet. Don't do that, because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat you in the same way. Irdahi mastata'ti. Spend as much as you can. So remember, generosity is a habit. Stinginess is a habit. So those who are generous in good times, they can also be generous in hard times. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. And those who suppress their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they pardon people. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves the doers of good. Jannah is for such people who, those who discipline their desire, their ego, their anger. The fact is that everyone gets angry. كَاظِمِين الْغَيْظ are those whose hearts get filled with anger, but they exert tight control over it. Just like a bottle is full to the brim, you seal the mouth, you don't let the water spill out. And just like that, when the anger is bubbling inside, kalama is to keep tight control over it, to not let it explode. And when a person is not able to control their anger, then this is a sign of their spiritual and emotional weakness. It can even be an illness, because remember, uncontrolled anger has a very negative impact on a person's physical health, on their mental health, on their relationships also. Suppressing anger, كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, this doesn't mean that a person is not allowed to express themselves. Suppressing anger means not expressing oneself in an aggressive way. Because remember, there are always better ways of communicating. Suppressing anger means finding a healthier and a more effective way to express yourself without losing control. And this requires a lot of effort. And those who exert this effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such people. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. We learn in a hadith that whoever suppresses their anger, even though if they wanted, they could have acted on it. Meaning they could have shown their anger, they could have acted on that anger, but they suppress it. Then Allah will fill their heart with hopes on the Day of Judgment. Meaning on the Day of Judgment, when people will be afraid, such a person will be calm. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inform me of a deed which will lead me to Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not get angry, and for you is Jannah. لا تغضب ولك الجنة. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله. And those who, when they commit an immorality or wrong themselves. The muhsineen are not perfect. They are human. So they do make mistakes. So when they make those mistakes, what do? They remember Allah. And then they seek forgiveness for their sins. They fix the damage that they have caused. And who can forgive sins except Allah? And who do not persist in what they have done while they know. Meaning they don't knowingly persist. They learn from their mistakes. And when they realize their mistake, they do something. They try different things in order to avoid making the same mistake again. So they work on changing themselves. This ayah is so encouraging. The problem is that when we do something wrong, shaitan makes us believe that we'll never be forgiven, that we're a lost cause, that we can never get better, that we are just bad. And then what happens is that we don't work on improving ourselves. We must start believing in the good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put inside of us. The good inside of us, the ability to heal, the ability to improve, the ability to get better. The thing is that the brain, it's something amazing. Neuroplasticity is the ability of the brain to adapt and change. We're not hardwired to fixed patterns. The brain's nature is such that it can be changed. Our behaviors are changeable. Our bad habits can be broken. So why give up on yourself so quickly? Remember that Iblis, Shaitan, said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that by your might and your honor, I will continue to mislead the children of Adam as long as their souls are in them. And you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by my might and my honor, I will continue to forgive them as long as they seek forgiveness of me. So keep seeking forgiveness and do not feel bad. Because in another hadith we learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O son of Adam, I shall go on forgiving you so long as you pray to me and seek my forgiveness, whatever may be your sins. O son of Adam, I do not care if your sins should pile up to the sky. Imagine so many sins that they reach up to the clouds. And even then, if you should beg pardon of me, I will forgive you. I do not mind. La ubali. O son of Adam, if you come to me with an earth full of sins, imagine the whole world, imagine committing that many sins, and then you meet me, not associating anything with me in worship, I will certainly grant you as much pardon as will fill the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness is greater than our sins. So never lose hope. No matter what you have done, remind yourself, I can improve. I can get better. And yes, not in one day, not in one week. It will take many tries, but I have to keep trying. أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Those, their reward is forgiveness from their Lord. And gardens beneath which rivers flow, meaning in Jannah, wherein they will abide eternally, and excellent is the reward of the righteous.